If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
I've been reading a piece in Slate by Liz Schulman about the best and worst of times, how challenging it is to be a school teacher these days. She'll have a piece in Huffington Post in a couple of days about screen time and the challenge that presents to kids. And there's also, of course, the story here in Illinois about J.B. Pritzker backing a screen-free school for our kids. It's a national trend to ban cell phones in the class. So we thought it would be a good time to visit again with Liz Schulman. She's the English teacher at Evanston Township High School, and she's in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. Welcome back, Liz. I hope you've been good.
Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm always curious when we speak to you during my show, because it's during the school day. Where are you in your day right now?
So we actually have a professional development day today. So the students are not at school, so kind of in between the meetings right now. So this worked out great.
So when I saw that you were in Slate, I thought, here we go again, happily, another article by you about what it's like to teach with kids and cell phones. But this is actually about something different, isn't it?
Yeah, this was about the executive orders that I think has gotten a lot of parents and teachers and administrators and students concerned about. Yeah.
And you said it's about immigration. It's also about, as you said, one of your students came up to you and said that they were afraid they were going to be put in jail because they're a trans student. And I didn't think that was as much of a conversation as that is nationally. I didn't imagine that would really be impacting a classroom, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's impacting the classroom in terms of having the conversations about what is happening on a national level. I think, you know, this is new to so many of us, and it's certainly new to our teenage students who are experiencing, you know, these executive orders and withdrawing federal funding really for the first time. So, yeah, we've been talking about it when they want to.
I would imagine the immigration issue would be more on the mind of kids in the Chicago area.
Yeah, it is definitely very scary for a lot of our students, families scrambling, trying to get passports, really, really, really worried. Yeah.
Because they're worried that their parents or they will be deported.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And then you said add to that the other things the kids deal with, anxiety, post-pandemic anxiety, and the screen time. What do you make of what J.B. Pritzker has said about screen-free schools?
I think it's great. I think it's great that Illinois is going to become another one of the states to do this. Until it becomes more of a statewide thing, it kind of leaves schools to their own, you know, trying to figure out what to do. So I think it's great. It would have been great if it had happened years ago. We saw the effects of the screen time coming out of the pandemic, but I think it's fantastic to do it now, because it will take a lot of pressure off of individual schools and administrators and teachers to try to figure out how to do it. I mean, logistically, he's leaving it up to each school, you know, to have their own system. But because we have to do it, I think it can only serve our kids well.
We asked our listeners about this in a little click poll this week, and while more than 50% of them like the idea of the state mandating it, not a small percentage of our listeners said, that's a good idea, but leave it up to the individual schools, principals, and teachers. If they want to let the kids have the phones, let them. Make it a local decision. My attitude about that was, maybe this takes them off the hook. It makes it easier for schools and administrators and teachers if they can just shrug and say, well, it's the law. I can't accommodate you. That it would almost make it easier, no?
Oh, I agree with you. I think it will make it a lot easier, because, you know, if a parent is challenging it, if students are challenging it, it's It's what we have to do. And the thing is, we all know why we're doing it. I mean, we've had all of this research for years now talking about how the negative effects that these screens are having on our kids. So it's really nothing new. I think it just will help to enforce, what teachers are seeing happen inside the classroom.
Well, tell us what, we've had this conversation before, but for those who haven't heard you with us in the past, what is the policy at your school now?
So at our school, our slogan is bell to bell, no cell. And so the students enter the classroom, they put the phones in the pocket at the entrance to the classroom, and they're off of them. They can use them during a passing period. They can use them at lunch. So they do have access, to them throughout the day. It's just when they're in these instructional spaces, they're not on the phone.
Bell to bell, no cell. So when the bell rings for class to start and stop, during that period of time when you're in the classroom, no cell. And how is that going? Are the kids abiding by that?
They are abiding by it. I mean, I think it was a big adjustment this year at the beginning of the year, but now that we're almost into March, it's working well. I mean, there's always a couple students who are like, I have to text my dad about picking me up after school. And, I say, I remind them it's bell to bell, no cell. And, and most of the time they're okay with it. Sometimes they say that another teacher will let them. And, and I make a joke and say, well, you're not in that teacher's classroom right now. One time a kid went on his watch when I reminded him of the policy. And so the phones have helped with one type of screen. It's definitely helping. But I wouldn't say that it's completely solving the problem of screens, but it's a huge shift. And I anticipate that it will be even better next fall when we go back, because we will have been doing this now a full year.
Ms. Schulman, you are so mean.
I know.
But I take your point. And really, the kid probably could do whatever they had to do during a passing period. But they also have laptops, don't they? So do you have to monitor what they're looking at on laptops?
We do. And like many schools, we have software that allows us to do that. We can close tabs. We can open tabs. There's still a bit of whack-a-mole with students. I mean, they're always one step ahead of us with the technology. And of course, there's, issues with using AI in the classroom. So it just seems like, the target of difficulty is always moving, but we have definitely made huge efforts with the phones, and I think we're seeing a lot of positive results.
Well, so because you talked to us in the past about what it was like and how challenging it was and just how sad it was that the kids were not interacting the way students normally would, and the spontaneous conversations that a teacher and a classroom could have are thwarted by the kids' attention to the screen. So it really does sound like it's going in a positive direction. If you would say on a scale of 1 to 100, where it's 0 is the worst and 100 is the best, where would you say that little meter is in terms of getting over the problem of phones in the classroom?
Well, with the phones, I would say we're probably up to I'd say 85 or 90%. I mean, they're not on them. They're definitely in those phone pockets.
Yeah,
and
good.
As far as conversations, I mean, when they're not on the Chromebooks, when, they have a book and a pencil and a piece of paper, the discussions have been amazing. And it is amazing to not have to worry about them sneaking a phone behind their Romeo and Juliet book, and to be focusing on, if I show a movie video clip, that they're not sneaking the phone. I mean, that has allowed for a lot more positive instructional time in the classroom.
I'm so glad to hear that. What are you teaching, by the way?
So we're in the middle of Romeo and Juliet with the freshmen. With seniors, we're in the middle of Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, book about Vietnam.
Sure. Sure. What a book. What a story. What writing. Liz Shulman joins us. She's a teacher in the Evanston area at Northwestern, also at the high school up there, teaches English to the kids. And she's been talking to us the last year or two about how she's been dealing with cell phones in the classrooms. You may have read her stuff in Slate, in Huffington Post, and other national sites. What did you say about AI? What are you seeing in terms of that in your classroom, Liz?
Well, I'm unfortunately seeing a lot of it. I mean, I feel so bad for our students because they're getting so many mixed messages. You know, they're getting all of these branding efforts by these big tech companies to use it, and you know, every day new ones come out, and so they're being told to use it, and it's really antithetical to what we're trying to do in the classroom. And so I think that it is confusing for them. And so, you know, I try to talk to them about what it means to outsource their mind to these digital technologies, and how antithetical it is to their critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills. And so it's, these are, you know, ongoing, very difficult conversations. I feel lucky that parents seem to be concerned about it as well. And so I have had some really good conversations with parents this year about it.
It's interesting to me. I'm not familiar with what these branding efforts are by AI to get the kids to use, I guess, those platforms. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, just advertisements. You know, I mean, our kids are bombarded with ads, you know, all day long, especially when they are on social media. And so they're constantly being encouraged to use it. And, you know, I mean, I have students who say, ChatGPT is my friend, or I can't write one sentence without Grammarly doing it for me. And so they're kind of getting these messages that they should be using it. And then we're, you know, English teachers are trying to tell them not to use it. And so, I think it's confusing for them.
How easy is it to spot?
Well, it's really easy to spot. It's difficult to prove. And, you know, you always risk accusing a student of cheating. And so I try to have conversations. I would almost prefer what old school cheating used to be, rather than this, because, you know, some of them really believe that they're pumping in their ideas into ChatGPT, and then it's kind of spitting out a whole paper. And so they say, I didn't cheat because I used it for inspiration. And so, you know, I feel like part of my job is to explain to them that, you know, they are developing their own mind for inspiration and their own imaginations, and that their own original thoughts matter, and you know that writing is thinking. And so we're having these conversations a lot in the classroom.
We've been talking about cursive, and there's a bill in Illinois to insist that kids still learn in cursive. And Illinois still does teach cursive, but a lot of places don't. And you just reminded me of one of the benefits of that is that when you put a pencil or pen in your hand and you write it on a piece of paper, it's a sensory kind of learning that amplifies the learning itself, cursive in particular. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with it. And you can tell when in the classroom, like when I've given them paper to write on as opposed to composing it on the computer. I've been having them do that more this year, use a pen and paper and pencils, and I had to buy a new pencil sharpener, which I haven't done in years, so that they, you know, they're using their pencils more, and I think it's good. They make fun of their own handwriting because they don't use it a lot.
Well, that's why it came up on our show, because it's illegible. I mean, the 20-somethings, 30-somethings, certainly teenagers have the handwriting of a grade school child because they just haven't exercised that muscle or that thought process that much. I know you're not endorsing any kind of cheating, but what does old-fashioned cheating look like?
I think old-fashioned cheating was maybe copying off of your friend's paper in the hallway before school started. Yeah. You know, it wasn't putting information into this system that's going to, you know, spit out an entire essay.
Among the text messages on the various things you and I have discussed, this listener says, I am a teacher, so is my daughter. Our schools have different cell phone policies. The differences between the students with the students' health is stark. The difference between the students' health is stark. I presume she's saying those that have strict cell phone policies, the students are quote unquote healthier. Healthier. I hadn't thought about that.
I would agree with that for sure.
Huh. Our school started a no cell phone policy for the whole day. The kids are now talking to each other at lunch. They laugh, they socialize. Another teacher says it's healthy. Do you see that? Have you seen a change in their social behavior?
I have. I mean, at our school, they can have them at lunch. So I have not seen that, you know, throughout the day in the cafeteria and in the hallways, but I've definitely seeing it in the classroom. And I've been trying to have students have more discussions rather than sitting on their Chromebooks, you know, where they have a book and their pencil and paper and they're actually, you know, grappling with, you know, the themes of Romeo and Juliet and whatever it is that we're reading.
So what am I going to read from you in Huffington Post this week?
So it's actually about the increased dependence on these digital technologies and about AI in school specifically, and not only AI, but just the dependence on even on Google. I mean, I had assigned a journal to my freshmen about a time when they believed in someone or a time when somebody believed in them, and you know they were to think of that using their own memories and their own imagination, and a couple students started Googling a time when somebody believed in you. And so I had to explain, like, you know, this isn't for Google. This is for you to go through your own memories. And it really surprised me. So I write about that in the Huffington Post piece that's coming out.
I don't know if you listened to the Daily podcast by the New York Times, but they had a long conversation with the reporter who herself interviewed a woman in Texas who then went overseas. But anyway, she had a long, intimate, if you will, relationship with AI. The computer would talk to her. It would become her friend. And she developed as much as you can a relationship with that chatbot. And it struck me as not only unhealthy, but also it was so apparent that when they would play back parts of the conversation she would have with AI, that it was very predictable. It wasn't intimate at all. It was easy, as you say, to spot. And I was surprised that a woman would take up a relationship with it, with her computer like that. That's not a question, but I wonder what your reaction to that is.
Yeah, I read about that as well. And I mean, there's so many things to say about that, but it's concerning to me too. I mean, one of my students said that ChatGPT is her friend and she can ask it questions in the middle of the night because she knows that if she emails her teachers are not going to email her back in the middle of the night. And so she can have these conversations with ChatGPT. And I think a lot of them might be doing this. And so I think it's bringing up these larger issues of like, what are relationships and what are relationships between adults and also between teachers and students?
Liz Shulman is an English teacher at Evanston Township High School. She's in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. Well, this is a day that you shouldn't have to be doing this. It's personal, professional development, but I think you've helped us a lot today, Liz. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you again.